Chapter 7. David could barely contain his excitement. The voices of the dwarves were but a dull buzz in the background. Magnificent. Absolutely magnificent. To think that such primitive people once possessed the ability to build such an amazing creation. It was mind-blowing. Thick fingers gripping his shoulder demanded his attention. He glanced over to see an elderly dwarf in white coveralls, wearing a deep scowl. David thought for a moment, trying to recall his name. Fulmar? Yes, that was it.
Are you going to share it with us?
The old dwarf asked.
Or shall we guess at what has plastered that ridiculous smile on your face?
In spite of this rude and gruff manner, David actually quite liked Fulmar. Not that he'd had much real interaction with him. But he did serve the useful purpose of keeping curious onlookers away, so preventing most interruptions to his work.
This damn thing really moves, he responded,
as much to himself as to the dwarf.
I mean, it really moves. We already know that,
Fulmar responded.
What we don't know is how.
David traced a finger over the schematic. The dwarf language was still a mystery, which meant he'd had to rely entirely on those around him for translating most of the written stuff. The mathematical symbols had also proved a bit tricky at first, but a few of the more intelligent dwarves had been able to help with that. Eventually, it had been possible for him to piece it all together. He had already been told about the spaceship discovered in the Dragon Wastes. Now, looking at the unbelievable level of engineering that surrounded him here on Borgen, there was no doubt in his mind that this race had indeed once travelled the stars. The severe shortage of working instrumentation was hindering his progress, which was frustrating because he was certain that somewhere among the thousands of ancient objects stored here were the tools to perform the necessary repairs. The only problem was, it could take literally years to sift through them all and divine their functions. For now, he was compelled to stick with the simplistic instruments that were at his disposal. A lesser man would have thrown his hands up, declaring the task to be impossible. But not David. He might not be much of a mage, but he was, without a doubt, a world-class engineer. He pointed to a spot near to the corner of the paper.
Do you know where this is?
Fulmar nodded.
It's just below the main power station.
He folded the schematic and gripped it tightly.
Then take me there.
Fulmar clearly did not like being given orders, pausing to give David an unpleasant sniff that punctuated this fact, before turning toward the door. David followed him closely as they threaded their way through multiple hallways and down several stairwells. The hum of the power generator grew louder with each step, and when actually passing through the massive chamber that housed it, he was, as usual, forced to stuff cloth into both ears. Curiously, he had noted on previous trips here that none of the dwarves ever appeared to be concerned at all by the noise. Thankfully, the chamber below, when they arrived, was fairly quiet, at least by comparison. After stepping through the steel double doors, David immediately felt an almost overwhelming burst of anticipation. Facing him at the rear was a huge bank of panels, screens, and buttons bearing a bewildering array of strange dwarven symbols. To his right, he could see an intricate weave of pipes and tubes, all linked together by a series of valves and metal knobs. With no tables or chairs available, he immediately plopped himself down onto the floor and unfolded the paper, smoothing it out flat. For half an hour, he examined the schematic, periodically looking up at the room and then back again. Fulmar remained silent throughout.
It's exactly as I thought, David said eventually. This room controls the... well, I guess an anchor would be one way to describe it.
Fulmar cocked his head.
An anchor? You mean like on a ship?
Yes, and no. This entire facility is powered by hydroelectric currents when stationary,
But to stay in place, it needs to channel water continuously through an elaborate system of jets. Half of all the power produced is used just for that function alone.
And if you disabled it?
Then the island would float freely. You would, of course, engage the engines, making us able to leave this area and go to wherever we wanted.
And what of the cloak which hides us?
David leaned back on one elbow and rubbed his neck.
It might just stay in place. I haven't quite figured that out yet. But I will.
He cracked a smile and pushed himself to his feet.
I think I know how to steer the island, or at least from which room the steering is done.
The sending rod in his pocket began to tingle, eliciting a groan. Trying hard to ignore this interruption, he approached the panel bank and ran his hands over the blank screens, imagining what they might look like when lit up and fully functioning. Of course, they were old and could well be in need of repair. But if they were built as well as everything else here on Borgen, maybe it was reasonable to be optimistic. The tingling in his pocket persisted.
"Damn it, woman,"
he muttered. But his irritation was fleeting. He had promised to be back at their quarters in time for dinner, and Val was making sure he kept to his word. Since arriving, Val had let go of some of the grief over her brother and had dedicated herself to helping David in any way she could. Though not the most educated of women, he'd found her to be extremely bright. Had she grown up under different circumstances, he had little doubt that she would have made a fine academic. As it was, her tender nature and caring ways had given him a confidence he'd never possessed before. He had only been with two women in his entire life, and both of these had been short-term affairs that left him with shattered self-esteem after being dumped without reason. Now he could look back at these experiences and shrug. Neither of them could hold a candle to Val's beauty, or her kindness. Reaching into his pocket, he grasped the rod.
"I'm on my way," he told her.
"Will you be returning later?"
Fulmar asked.
"I doubt it. Val has made me promise not to overdo it."
The dwarf nodded with what could almost be described as a grin.
"Yes. I remember her being quite upset with you during your first week here. You are lucky to have someone to look after you as she does. My own wife is not nearly as caring."
David started toward the door, feeling oddly uncomfortable.
"Oh, we're not married."
Fulmar raised an eyebrow.
"Is that so? Then you should take an old dwarf's advice and remedy that particular situation as soon as possible. Women can be a great source of strength for a man, but only if you are willing to be the same for her as well. Do not take a woman who loves you for granted. If you do, you will soon find yourself alone and wishing that you had been wiser when it mattered."
David averted his eyes and hurried down the hallway. Married? The thought had never occurred to him. Hell, there wasn't even a church or a preacher here, or a justice of the peace, for that matter. Even if he wanted to, he chided himself for stupidity. Even if she wanted to, how would they go about it? On arriving at the room the dwarves had provided, he paused at the door to wipe his now clammy hands on his chest. All this thinking about marriage had started his heart hammering away. It took a full minute before he could calm himself enough to enter. Their modest accommodation was just a little less stark than most other rooms within the facility. The bed was tucked away into the far corner, while a small metal dining table had been covered by a red cloth Val had managed to procure while searching for odds and ends to brighten the place up a bit. She seemed to enjoy decorating, though, sadly, there was very little available for her to work with. On Borgen, things were purely functional. Still, she had done the best job she could in making it look more like a home. He could hear her humming an unfamiliar tune through the bathroom door. The table was set, and a plate of fish, together with a helping of vegetables, was giving off a tempting aroma. His stomach growled. He had forgotten to eat yet again.
"I'll be right there,"
Val called. David sat on the edge of the bed with his hands folded in his lap. A moment later she appeared, wearing a pair of jeans and a loose-fitting T-shirt. Her hair was still damp from a recent shower. He smiled.
"Am I late?"
"Go get cleaned up," she said, ignoring the question. "The food's getting cold." David hurried into the bathroom and washed his hands. Val was already sitting at the table when he returned. As they ate, he told her about his discoveries that day.
"So, how long do you think until you can get the island to move?" she asked.
"There's no telling," he replied through a mouthful of fish.
"Maybe never. I mean, I understand how it works, more or less. But the engineering is far more complex than anything I've ever seen. It's ancient, too. If only one component has worn out or rusted away, it could take years for me to fix it."
Val looked around the room.
"It certainly doesn't look old to me."
"It is, though," he told her.
"Thousands of years old. Maybe tens of thousands. All the same, whatever they built it out of, it was sure made to last. Not even the Great Pyramid stood up to time this well."
After dinner, they took a leisurely stroll through the halls, eventually stepping outside and sitting on the beach. David listened attentively as Val brought him up to date with her studies of the ancient dwarf language. It had turned out almost on the day they arrived that she possessed quite a talent for such things. In a surprisingly short time, she had already memorized most of the characters and was even capable of reading a few simple passages.
"Who knows?" she said, leaning back with her hands behind her head. "Maybe one day I'll actually be useful around here."
David rolled to his side and met her eyes.
"You're already useful. At least you are to me."
Reaching over, she lightly flicked his nose.
"You're sweet. You know that?" "I'm serious. I couldn't have learned anywhere near as much as you have that quickly. Hell, I even failed beginner Spanish in school."
She eyed him skeptically.
"You fail a class? I'm serious. I was never any good at languages. Not like you. Even the dwarves have told me how amazed they are. They say you've picked it up faster than anyone they've ever seen."
She smiled and kissed him lightly.
"Thanks. For what?"
The taste of her lips lingered, instantly quickening his pulse.
"No one has ever told me I'm smart," she replied. "Only you." "Well, you are, believe me. It's just that you've been hanging around with the wrong guys." "That's for sure."
Pulling him down, she kissed him again, this time with passion and urgency.
"But not anymore."
Up until now, their lovemaking had always been a little bit awkward. David was well aware that his lack of experience showed through, even though Val was always patient and had done her best not to make him feel embarrassed about it. Because of this, he did, after a time, begin to feel slightly less restrained, even to the point of taking the initiative on a couple of occasions. This time, however, was completely different. The way she gazed up at him and the way her body responded to his touch banished all remaining fear and anxiety, totally and forever. He had meant every word he'd said, and she knew it. He had overheard conversations about love and intimacy and read a few books on the subject, but until meeting Val, he'd never expected to experience it firsthand. Now, as their bodies intertwined beneath a star-strewn sky, he felt truly happy. For the first time, he knew she was feeling exactly the same passion for him. Her eyes never left his as their love came to a climax, and they remained joined, both physically and emotionally, for some time after. For the next week, Val decided to split her time between studying the dwarf language and keeping David company, while he puzzled out a way to safely activate Borgen. Though at first he feared she would be a distraction to his work, he soon found that he enjoyed having her around. She could anticipate his needs far more easily than the dwarf assistants, and her ever-increasing understanding of the language also came in handy a good number of times. Several of the island's long-time residents were clearly uneasy about his work and made no secret of their displeasure. At first, David took it to be resentment over the fact that he had taken only weeks to figure out things about Borgen that had eluded their best minds for decades. But this thought was soon dismissed. The discoveries he made were praised. It was clear they lacked the need for personal accolades, a trait he had found so distasteful in his colleagues on Earth. In the end, it was Val's insight that eventually explained their standoffish and occasionally rude behavior. "I think they fear change," she told him. "My brother was the same way. He hated anything that upset his normal routine. That's why we never moved out of our crappy little house. Probably why he was such a pain in the ass when we first came here." It did not escape his notice that she always spoke of Jake in the past tense. He could see the pain behind her eyes, but thought it best to say nothing. He had never been good with comforting words, and was afraid of making matters worse. By the next week, he was growing ever more confident that not only could he get Borgen to move, but that the mechanisms needed to achieve this were all still intact. This caused a great stir among the dwarves. Calls for him to halt his work immediately became louder and more urgent. A few of the elders came to speak with him during the evening hours, grilling him repeatedly on the safety and practicality of what he was doing. Most of them seemed to think that his time would be much better served working on some of the other items and machines they had in storage, particularly the weapons. David listened patiently, more than a bit accustomed to other researchers disagreeing with his methods. But shortly following this meeting, Hanvir, who, up until now, had chosen to mostly keep his distance, came by to explain that he had been in regular contact with King Gannix via a sending rod. Even after he'd passed on the elders' objections, his monarch was unswayed and had been most insistent that David should continue as he was. Mobilizing Borgen was to be an absolute priority. For David, at least, this was good to hear. He was just about to get ready for bed when an urgent banging at his door reverberated through the room. Before he could even say to enter, it flung wide open, and a young bearded dwarf bearing a small hand axe came rushing inside. Fear was marked clearly on his face, and his breathing was coming in rapid gasps.
"Shinzan!"
he panted. Val, who was already in bed, jumped up and grabbed her robe.
"What?"
"Shinzan," he repeated. "He's here."
A cold chill stabbed through David's gut.
"Shinzan? Are you sure?"
"We are surrounded," the dwarf continued. "The whole of Borgen. 100 ships, at least."
This news struck David with the force of a blacksmith's hammer. Val was already gathering up her clothes.
"How do you know it's Shinzan?" she asked.
"They are flying the Imperial banner."
While Val headed for the bathroom to get dressed, David forced himself not to panic. "That doesn't mean Shinzan is with them," he said. He frowned. Considering what he knew about the dwarves, the terror emanating from their messenger was unusual. Something strange was clearly affecting him. A moment later, Val emerged, fully dressed. The young dwarf quickly led them to the facility entrance. The halls were buzzing with activity. Most of those they passed were now armed with at least a small axe, and many carried dwarf rods. On reaching the exit, they had to push their way through dozens more dwarves before finally getting to the top. Most of them appeared to be confused as to what they should be doing. David's puzzlement increased. He knew they had repelled an assault before, quite recently, in fact, and from what he had been told, Borgen could withstand any kind of attack, short of one coming from Shinzan himself. The puzzlement fell away as he drew near to the open air. A sudden wave of panic gripped him. It felt as if all his courage was being stripped away. Val's hand suddenly clasped tightly around his, telling him that she had felt it too. Outside, dwarves were streaming toward the beach. A decision had already been made that, unlike the previous attack, this time they would defend their shores rather than allow the enemy to land. With their many formidable weapons, that should not be a problem. a wooden ship was no match at all for a line of dwarf rods. But this fact only made the unnatural panic even harder to understand. On reaching the beach, David and Val stopped short. Just inside the barrier, he could see a long row of ships wrapped around the island. Though the far side of the coast was out of vision, he guessed that the messenger had been correct in saying they were surrounded. The defenders were now getting ready to repel the intruders. Some of the younger dwarves were visibly trembling.
"We can help," said Val. "Right?"
This would be the first time either of them had used their magic against a real enemy. David took a long breath.
"Absolutely," he told her.
He sure as hell wasn't about to allow this wondrous place to fall prey to the Empire. He spotted Fulmar off to his right and headed toward him. Fulmar grinned at his approach. If the anxiety was affecting him, he was well able to hide it.
"Are you ready for a fight?" he asked.
David nodded sharply.
"Where should we be?"
"Most of our people have rounded the island to where it's easier for boats to land," he replied. "I think it's best that you stay here. We could certainly use a bit of that human magic your kind is so proud of."
He pointed to a low rise further down.
"You should get a clean shot at those bastards from there."
Taking Val's hand, David led her to where Fulmar had indicated. Then he noticed something. The enemy ships were no longer advancing. As he continued to stare, he saw them all gradually turning to the left in near-perfect unison.
"What the hell are they doing?"
he muttered. A few dwarf rods fired. But even a ship with its side facing them was a difficult target at this range. The power of the rods had limits, and their effectiveness decreased significantly after a couple of hundred yards. David went over the offensive spells he knew in his mind. Only a few were powerful enough to handle something the size of these ships, and those that were would drain him significantly at a time when he might well be needing all of his strength. Whatever the enemy was up to, they clearly had a plan. They knew exactly where to stop to be safe from the dwarf weapons. It was unclear if they knew there were also two mages defending Borgen, but on the chance that they didn't, he thought it best to keep that advantage as a surprise for the time being. From the corner of his eye, he became aware of a bright, flashing green light. Barely had he turned to look in its direction when a stream of magical energy burst forth from one of the ships. It struck the island just ahead of the dwarf lines. An instant later came an explosion that rocked him completely off his feet. Val fell heavily beside him. Dazed, he struggled to his knees and tried to gauge what had happened. The blast had left a crater more than 30 feet across and almost half as deep. Fireballs, together with molten hunks of earth and sand, were still raining down, some landing only a few yards away from where their location was. Before he could get his bearings, a second loud boom sounded to his back, clearly telling him that the Imperial ships had more than one of these devastating weapons. He could only assume they were a much larger version of the handheld rods, which did not bode well at all for their defense. Another blast from ahead then struck the shores, though this time the dwarves were more scattered and only a few became casualties. Val had managed to stand and, to his surprise, looked to be furious rather than afraid. With her eyes closed and her arms spread wide, she muttered an incantation barely audible over the numerous cries of the frightened defenders. Yet another blast struck, this one further down the beach, though still close enough to shake the ground fiercely. David spotted Fulmar racing toward them. His face was covered in dirt, and blood was spattered all over his clothes.
"We need to get inside," he shouted. "We have no way to fight against this."
Above the ship that had fired on them, a dark cloud was now forming. David immediately knew the spell Val was using. Martok had taught it to them both, though he had never experienced much success in creating one of any great power. Val, it appeared, had learned better. After only a few seconds, bolts of lightning began raining down on the ship, striking the mast and deck with rapid frequency.
"That won't stop them,"
said Fulmar.
There's too many.
As if to illustrate his words, another blast came, this time from a different ship, and then another. The island lurched, groaning loudly with the forced bending of steel. By now, smoke was rising from the ship Val was assaulting. All the same, Fulmar was right. This would not be enough. David touched her arm, but she ignored him, instead willing the cloud to drift over to the next vessel. It was clear she would not be leaving without first putting up a stern fight.
"Get down below," David ordered Fulmar. "We'll join you there in a minute."
At least, that was what he hoped. If the Imperials spotted them and turned any of their weapons in their direction, there would be nothing either of them could do. They would be killed instantly. As it was, the bombardment temporarily ceased. The reason for this soon became clear. Many of the ships began lowering landing craft into the water. All were filled to capacity with soldiers. By now, Val's storm cloud was hovering above a second ship, still raining down its dazzling bolts of white death. Her lips were twisted into a snarl, and her focus was absolute. Very quickly, this ship was smoking as well. But that was doing nothing to stave off the rapidly incoming tide of soldiers. A few streaks of fire leapt forth from the shore as some of the dwarves paused in their retreat long enough to strike back. But only a few of these found their target, certainly not enough to make anything of a difference. David touched Val's arm again.
"We have to go. They're not taking this away from us," she hissed back at him through gritted teeth.
"My lady," interjected Fulmar. "It's not likely they can breach the door, and if they do, we can stop them there. But you must come now."
David glanced again at the line of ships. The first one Val had attacked was fully in flames, and the second was close to matching it. Not that it mattered much. The mass of landing craft would be upon them in just a few minutes. When David had arrived on Borgen, he would not have understood her reasons for such utter determination. But now he did. He had found a home here. At long last, he had discovered a place where he truly belonged. Here he was valued even more so than he had been at MIT. His confidence and self-esteem had returned, and it was clear that Val felt the same way. He scolded himself for not realizing this sooner. On Borgen, she was respected as a mage, and also praised for her mind. How much respect and praise had she received on Earth? Almost none, was his guess. David stood beside her, focusing his mind and allowing his rage to swell. But before he could form a spell of his own, with a succession of mighty whooshing sounds, the water beneath the landing boats suddenly began to heave and erupt. It was as if an invisible storm had stirred just that particular part of the sea to mighty anger. At first, he thought it had been Val, even though magic on such a scale was well beyond her ability. A moment later, he caught sight of a head and then a fin popping up from the water.
"Sirion!" shouted Fulmar. "They've come to fight with us!"
Such was the sea's frenzied tempest, it took only a few seconds for all of the landing boats to begin capsizing. The tumbling men flailed about wildly, most of them attempting to rip away the heavy armor that was sure to drown them. Not that this would have helped much, had any succeeded. The Sirion were on them the instant they were in the water, dragging every last man down into the depths. David could not restrain himself from letting out an elated cheer. But his joy was short-lived. A stream of energy rocked the island as a renewed blast from the weapon struck the shore directly ahead. This was followed almost immediately by an equally violent blast from behind them.
"The Sirion won't be able to do anything to the big ships," Fulmar pointed out. "Eventually, they will pound us to dust."
David considered this for a moment, and then grabbed Val's arm.
"No, they won't."
She allowed him to lead her away, though the fire in her expression said that her fury was far from spent.
"If you let me," she said, "I can sink them all."
"I won't risk you getting hurt," David told her.
"One direct shot from that weapon and it's all over."
He looked back to give her a wink,
Don't worry. I know what to do.
This was only partly true. Yes, he did have an idea, but there was no guarantee it would actually work. And worse than that, it might even possibly kill them all. But at this point, he could see no other options. As soon as they were inside, he named off a list of dwarves he wanted to assist him, along with all the tools he thought he might need.
"Have them meet me below the power station," he instructed. "And hurry!"
Without protest, Fulmar raced off to do his bidding. Still leading Val by the hand, David wound his way down into the heart of Borgen, until they reached the room where the bulk of his recent research had taken place. Papers and diagrams were scattered everywhere about the floor and on the tables. Furiously, he began writing, pausing only to place notes on various valves and knobs. Soon the dwarves he'd requested began arriving. Fulmar and Hanvir were the last to appear, the latter liberally covered in sand and blood.
"What do you intend to do?"
the dwarf leader demanded. Deep thuds resounded as the Imperial ships continued their bombardment.
"What do you think?"
David responded.
"We need to escape. It's our only chance."
Realization washed over him.
Can you do this?"
David shrugged.
"I really don't know. I think so."
Hanvir looked as if he was on the point of protesting when the floor tilted sharply from yet another assault. It shifted erratically to and fro several times before finally settling.
"Then do it," the dwarf said.
With a sharp wave of his arm, David gathered the others to him. After giving each one their assignment, he borrowed a sending rod from Fulmar and headed two levels up to a much smaller room. Here, the rear wall was covered with innumerable small screens, below which was a long panel with dozens of buttons and levers, each one designated by an ancient dwarf symbol. In the center of the room was a solitary steel chair. After a few seconds of examining the panel, he removed a scrap of paper from his pocket and studied it for a time. He then began touching the panel's buttons in what he hoped was the correct sequence. After the third button was pressed, the screens all lit up together. Many were obscured by what appeared to be earth and sand. Cameras buried by the devastating barrage on the shore was his guess. Others displayed dwarf numbers and letters. Though he couldn't decipher what these meant, that was not important now. It was the screen in the top left corner that he was focusing all his attention on. A set of six concentric circles expanded to the screen's outer edge, with a mass of tiny dots moving slowly counterclockwise within the third circle.
"That looks like a radar," remarked Val.
David smiled over to her.
"It is," he pointed to the dots. "Those are the Imperial ships."
After checking the panel one more time, he used the sending rod to call Fulmar, telling him to begin. He then turned to Val.
"Cross your fingers," he said.
She took his hand and moved in close. Borgen continued to rumble as more blasts struck its shore, prompting David to pray that the sand and soil accumulated over thousands of years would give it enough protection to endure. He listened carefully for any slight sound that the engines were running or that the island's anchors had been released. After nearly 10 minutes, there was still no hint of either. He frowned heavily.
"Something is—"
A thunderous boom, 10 times louder and more violent than anything from the enemy assault, rocked the whole of Borgen. They were both thrown from their feet and sent sliding across the room until hitting the wall nearest the door. For a terrifying second, David thought there had been an explosion in the engine room. But after a few moments, he heard a low, droning hum. Placing his hand on the floor, he felt the slightest of vibrations. Val was already on her feet and offering him a hand.
"It worked!"
David allowed himself to be helped up. A pain on the back of his head where it had struck the hard metal floor promised a sizable lump. His excitement quickly pushed such minor worries away.
It had worked.
Or, to be more exact, it had thus far. The almost imperceptible swaying motion told him that Borgen was no longer secured to the sea floor. He looked back at his notes.
"Here we go. It's all or nothing," he muttered.
After touching a blue button on the panel, he eased a silver slide upward just about an inch. In response, with a hum of power, a small metal pedestal began rising from the floor just in front of the metal chair. This was unexpected. He must have worked it out wrong. Crossing over to the chair, he settled down onto it as quickly as possible. At the top of the pedestal, a transparent panel with a glass-like quality was tilted back to display a series of lights, each one depicting a dwarven symbol. Bailey had recognition of this registered when David was thrown hard back into the chair as the engines suddenly engaged and the island lurched forward. He glanced over at Val, who had been forced to grip hold of the front panel to remain standing.
"I need your help,"
he called over to her as the motion settled down. Once she had joined him, David glanced at the radar screen. Borgen was certainly moving, but in what direction he couldn't tell.
"What do these symbols say?"
he asked, indicating the panel in front of him. Val looked confused.
I don't know."
He gave her hand a reassuring squeeze.
"Sure you do. Just calm down and think."
Shutting her eyes, she blew out a long breath. Now more composed, she studied the panel for considerably longer than a minute. Her jaw clenched tight as tiny beads of sweat formed on her brow. Finally, she spread her hands and shook her head.
"I'm not sure," she said. "Some of them are numbers. Others just don't make any sense at all."
David leaned over to look her in the eye.
"I believe in you. Please try again."
She gave a weak smile and resumed her examination.
"You see this one?"
she said after a few moments, pointing to a blue button in the top right corner.
"It says physical."
Her finger drifted across to the opposite corner.
"And this one here says instinct. I mean, what the hell?"
David considered this.
Physical? Instinct?
What did those words have to do with—
Then it came to him.
He touched the blue button, and the panel moved forward to make room for a set of controls nearly identical to those they had seen on the dwarf boats. David threw out his arms and grabbed Val, kissing her with utter joy.
"Physical? You're a genius! Manual. As in manual controls. The other one must be like an automatic pilot."
He looked up at the radar. The enemy ships had broken their formation in response to Borgen's unexpected movement and were positioning themselves on either side. The attacks from their weapons were still coming, but he intended to remedy that very quickly. Holding his breath, he pushed the silver lever. The humming of the engines increased, and he could feel the sharp pull of acceleration. A black dial seemed to be what controlled direction. While looking at the radar, he turned the dial slightly to the right. After a few seconds, the dots on the right grew closer to the center. A broad smile was now plastered on his face. The door flew open, and Fulmar burst inside, panting and wheezing.
You did it!
David took hold of Val's hand and kissed it.
I had help.
He looked back at the old dwarf.
How is everything down below?
Nothing exploded, if that's what you're asking.
I'll take that for now,
David said. Turning his attention back to the controls, he eased the accelerator forward another inch. Keeping his eyes fixed on the screen, he continued to move it forward until it was clear that he was outpacing the Imperial ships. Several minutes passed, mostly in silence, the only sounds being the hum of the engine and the slowly diminishing thuds of the enemy strikes. Soon, the attacks ceased altogether. David smiled up at Val.
You feel like driving for a bit?
After hesitating for only a moment, she nodded. David stood up and cupped her face in his hands. There was no need for words when their eyes met. Each wore a knowing smile. Val settled into the chair, back straight, and looking far more confident than David could recall ever having seen her. After giving her a final loving gaze, he exited the room with Fulmar following close behind, and headed down to where the dwarves were still gathered. From everything he could tell, all was functioning as it should be, though admittedly there was much of which he was still unsure. "It would appear you have achieved what we could not," Hanvir told him. "I thank you." David felt pride swelling in his chest. This was truly his crowning achievement. "I had a lot of help," he said, doing his best to sound modest. "But before we start celebrating too much, we should check on how much damage has been done outside."
"Agreed," replied Hanvir.
Many of the dwarves they passed along the way still looked confused and frightened. Aside from those directly involved, no one yet knew that Borgen was now mobile. Hanvir paused frequently to give reassuring words, which went a long way to easing their fears. Upon exiting the facility, the stench of burning wood instantly caught David's nostrils. After taking no more than a few steps, several devastated areas could already be seen. Thankfully, though, it could have been a lot worse. As he had been hoping, the thick layer of sand and earth accumulated by Borgen over thousands of years had absorbed much of the impact. Some of the craters did actually go deep enough to expose the outer hull, but after more than 2 hours of careful examination, they could find no sign of any significant damage. The island was moving at a surprising speed, much faster than any sailing vessel could match. Large swaths of the beech trees were already beginning to fall away, revealing the gleaming metal beneath. David tried to picture what it would look like if completely exposed. More than ever, he felt determined that Shinzan must be defeated. Such a magnificent creation should never be destroyed.
"Your ancestors sure knew how to build things to last," he remarked, as they made their way back inside.
Hanvir nodded.
"Yes, and now that you are here, perhaps we can make their creations live again."
"That could take a very long time, I'm afraid."
"Then let us hope we will have it in abundance."
Hanvir paused at the entrance and shut his eyes, allowing the breeze to wash over him.
"And to that end, we must now decide how best to use this newfound power."
David felt a sudden surge of protectiveness. He hadn't given any thought to Borgen's future use. The idea that it could now be exposed to possible capture, or, far worse, destruction, was unbearable. Still, he knew he must steel himself to set such feelings aside. The enemy had to be put down, even at the cost of Borgen.
"I wonder if this is what Oppenheimer felt like," he muttered.
"Who?"
David forced a smile.
"No one. You're right. We need to help win the fight if we can."
"I will contact King Gannix," Hanvir told him. "He'll know how best to proceed."
He looked to the bottom of the stairs, where a small gathering of apprehensive-looking dwarves was awaiting their return.
"But first, I must ease the minds of the people here."